Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Stephen Freeman, who is the leader and founder of Kairos Digital, as well as a certified story brand guide. He helps people grow their businesses by clarifying their message and improving their marketing. So today we are going to be discussing Stephen's journey as an entrepreneur and what he's learned along the way. Thanks so much for joining us today, Stephen.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So where are you tuning in from today?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Very nice. Yeah. And what motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
The concept of helping people is a core theme throughout the entire process. So
yeah.
I always say that I've got kind of four games that I'm playing in business. So it's creating a team culture. So it's helping the employees, helping clients, helping the world become a better place. And then the fourth one is specifically college students, because I feel like college students, specifically in the marketing world, kind of get a bad shake of it. Because college leaves them somewhere and then the market needs them somewhere. And there's this huge gap between where college leaves you and the marketplace actually needs you to be. So that's the fourth audience I feel like I'm helping.
Okay. Awesome. That's really interesting. Yeah. I definitely want to dive back into that and learn more about how you're helping college students. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So how did you originally get into digital marketing?
Through way of content writing. So I'm a writer. And so I started at web.com, which is an international web development company. So I was a copywriter there was writing 8 websites a day and ended up getting into management there, managing a team of about 30 writers. And then from there went over to a small marketing agency to help manage their team and scale them from about 750,000 a year to about 3 million plus. And then decided I wanted to start my own agency.
Amazing. So cool. Yeah. So yeah. Tell us more about how you started Kairos Digital.
Yeah, so I really wanted the chance to take something that was absolutely nothing and turn it into something. Like my favorite thing is finding chaos and creating order out of it.
Yeah.
And then attracting a lot of people throughout that process. So the challenge of, hey, can you create something out of nothing, is the ultimate kind of chaos. So walking into nothing and seeing what I can create out of it was kind of the onus.
Yeah, that's so cool. And then, so how do you guys set yourselves apart from other agencies?
Yeah, I'd say one of the biggest differences is going to be the StoryBrand framework. So StoryBrand is a framework by a guy named Donald Miller. And the book is Building a StoryBrand. But it's essentially a copywriting framework that helps use the framework of what story is and then translate that into how businesses position themselves and even approach marketing. So it's it's being able to invite your customers into a story rather than trying to just beat your chest and say, you have to listen to my story and it's all about me. Mm-hmm. It's letting business owners play the guide role in a story rather than the hero role in a story.
Right.
And ultimately the customer is meant to play the hero role in that story.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And then, so what are some challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So like inside the marketing world, there's all kinds of normal challenges. So systems change, new softwares show up, old ones go away, the market shifts and we have to adapt. So like there's all the normal stuff that's inside any marketing campaign that comes up. But one of the more consistent ones is, as you grow and scale, you as a leader has to evolve. You as a leader have to figure out new systems, new processes for even people. And so it's not just the work itself, but the work of the organization is a whole other type of job that you have to evolve to grow into, because it's not just marketing. Now it's people and development and leadership and training and coaching and mentoring and accountability and, you know, impact. And so there's a whole other like litany of stuff that gets evolved as a business grows.
Very cool. So just making sure that you're taking that time to reflect, seeing where we're at, seeing what needs to get addressed, and then going from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So if you had one growth tip that you could share with other up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
So I feel like there's two stages of growth. The first one is you've got to start saying yes to stuff and doing it and working as hard as you can. So early on you say, can I? Yes. Then we do.
Yes.
There has to be a shift. There has to be a shift though, because you can't live in that. That's like year one. That's the kindling of the fire. That's a very like early stage mentality.
Yep.
There has to be a gear shift toward, is this the right client? Is this the right work? Is this the work that we are meant to do, best to do? Because if not, send them to someone else. Like the market is so abundant, you might not be the right person to help this person. People that you can give them to, no people that you can like, that can help them. Because you can't help everyone all of the time. There comes an evolution in the growth where you have to be able to say no and understand who is your ideal client and even protect your employees from the wrong client. So even in the vetting process of clients, it becomes almost as strenuous as the vetting process for employees, because at the end of the day, they have to be compatible. We have to have shared values. We have to be going similar places. Mm-hmm. It has to be a good company wanting to grow. And if I ask my people to use the time and talent and resources and energy that they bring to the table and invest in something that we're not all passionate about, it's going to affect tension, morale, effectiveness of the campaign. So it's that you have to transition to vetting the quality of the client, and you have to know who that is.
Okay, interesting. So yeah, I love that. It makes so much sense. So how do you determine whether a client is a good fit for you?
Yeah, so we, one of the biggest criteria is a quality I call guideable. At the end of the day, the client is our hero. Like, we want the client to succeed.
Yes.
In the story structure of what a story actually is, what makes a compelling story, is you have a hero who has a problem, and then they seek a guide. The guide demonstrates empathy and authority to help them. So you think of like Gandalf has empathy and authority for Frodo. Yoda has empathy and authority with Luke Skywalker. Haymitch has empathy and authority for Katniss in the Hunger Games, right? So there's both empathy and authority. But if the hero is not willing to be guided, then there's no story. There's no story structure. The guide has to be able to guide the hero through a series of process so that the hero's journey can actually happen and they transition. So when a client comes and there's a strong sense of an unguidability, it's the wrong storyline. Like, it's the wrong storyline. They're not looking for a guide. They're looking for someone to execute precisely what they say and precisely what they do. Like, you have to hire people that are smarter than you, and you have to bring agency partners that know more than you do. So it can't just be I know precisely what needs to be done, and here's what you need to do. And I'm going to, like, you have to have a problem that we can solve. Like, we're not just an execution machine. We're problem solvers. And so like, we look for people that have problems that are looking for people to solve them.
Okay.
So it's that guidability is the X factor.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. Yeah. Very cool. So I would love to talk about sales a little bit. You know, sales is just, it's arguably one of the most important skills to have as an entrepreneur. So in those early days, how did you get those first clients, and what did the sales process look like?
Yeah, it definitely looks different than it did early on. So, early on, it was as many personal connections as I could possibly manage. Mm-hmm. So it was friends, family members, like anyone that was connected to a business, me saying like, I'm starting something new. If you're excited to start something new too, like we can do this together. And that landed the first three reasonably sized clients for the agency. And so, yeah, that was a huge, like, just personal connections was one. So how personally connected are you?
Yeah.
The second one was I strategically decided to start the agency in a co-working space. So we use Expansive, which is the national co-working. You actually see some of the map through the back door places yes. that are around the country in the common sit space. So I started with a backpack and a laptop in the common area of a co-working space. And I intentionally positioned myself physically in the building in a place with high foot traffic. And I said, listen, you can't control everything, but you can control how many people you meet in any one given day. So I had a goal. Yep. It was like, you're going to meet one new person every day that is in this building. And I ended up signing several clients to the point where in the early days, the metric has changed because we've kind of grown. We've grown. And so not everyone in this building is a good fit for our agency. Mm-hmm. But in the early days, what I was paying in rent was 5x in revenue. So I was making cool. five times the money of what I was paying to be allowed to be in the building. And so finding an area where you can have that commonality, like everyone says, oh, sales comes from word of mouth and referrals. In a co-working space, that commonality, that common, the common introduction is the building. And so the idea yeah. of it's less risky to work with someone I'm going to see every day is not nothing. Like it is a big factor. Yeah. The second one was StoryBrand. StoryBrand's like they have a directory. So there's only about 700 or 800 certified StoryBrand guides in the world. And so there's a directory of StoryBrand, certified StoryBrand guides. And a lot of business owners are aware of what StoryBrand is. They've read the book, they're trying to implement themselves, and they just need a marketing agency that's certified or a marketer who's certified in that framework. Mm-hmm. And so we get a good number of leads through StoryBrand as well.
Very cool. Yeah, no, I love that strategy that you mentioned about just meeting new people and forcing yourself to meet one new person in the building every day.
Yeah.
Because I think you're just setting yourself up to get lucky, you know, whenever yeah. you're just, the more people you talk to, like you're creating your own luck, basically.
Luck definitely favors the prepared.
Yeah.
And it's the difference between leading indicators and lagging indicators. Like I can't actually control how many people want marketing. I'm not, mm-hmm. I don't actively control that. But if I meet enough people, I will find people that need marketing and I can control how many people I meet. I can control how many people I say hi to. I can control how many people I say, tell me more about your business.
Yeah.
It's controlling the controllables that has a downstream effect on the uncontrollables.
Very cool.
And I found if I just meet people, I tend to sell better.
So yeah.
I just decided to control how many people I meet.
I love it. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, what does your sales process look like now? How are you yeah. bringing in leads to your agency currently?
Yeah. So still some through the building, a good number through StoryBrand, still a decent amount through personal connections, mm-hmm. as the agency grows, the different networks of people. But the fourth, stream has come through just SEO, like deciding to do marketing for your own marketing agency. I cannot tell you how many marketing agencies are like, they don't do their own reviews. Like they don't ask their clients to leave reviews, even though they do yep. review campaigns for their clients.
Yeah.
They're ignoring their website, even though they build websites all day. They're ignoring their social, even though they do social for clients all day.
Yeah.
And so
we practice what they preach.
They don't. And like a lot of sympathy for it. I do. Like it's hard to read the label from inside the bottle. Like when you're inside it every single day, it's hard to get around the perspective and be like, oh, how does everyone else see me? And why does that matter?
Yeah.
So when you're in it, it is legitimately hard to see. So like I have deep sympathy for it because I feel it too.
Yeah.
But SEO was the big one, was investing in our own SEO to make sure that we actually can be found when people are looking for it. I had a call today from a roofer that was that's looking for a marketing campaign or having lunch next week from local SEO.
Love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you have determined that a prospect is someone that you'd really love to work with,
yeah.
How do you close the sale and maybe stop them dragging their feet if they're procrastinating a little bit?
Yeah. Procrastination is usually a sign that they have an unanswered question. And so you just got to stay curious about what that is. To me, sales is service. It's the exact same thing. There's no distinguishing factor between what sales is and what service is.
Yep.
Sales is just the service of them doing business with you. That's it. And yeah. so at the end of the day, like a waiter saying, hey, what's your recommendation? Sometimes it's this thing, sometimes it's not this thing. And so my mind always has to shift into what I consider a fiduciary responsibility to a lead. So when a lead comes to me, I have a fiduciary responsibility to care about their business as much, if not more, as my own. So they reach out, I have to think, is Kairos best for them or mm-hmm. not? Because I can't tell you how discouraging it is to try really hard and succeed at landing the wrong client. It's such a heartache because it will end. It always ends.
Yeah.
And I would rather take the extra time and build good rapport and refer to someone else or say, honestly, we're not a good fit for you for these reasons, but I know three other people who might be a good fit for you. Let me introduce you to them.
Yeah.
And so it, to me, the biggest difference is it keeps my mind having the fiduciary responsibility to that client. You asked about people dragging their feet. So when a client drags their feet, sometimes it's because there's internal structure that they're navigating through that they're just not bringing you in on. Mm-hmm. Like I've had a lead that has been a legitimate on the horizon, could close in the next 3 weeks, client, the largest business we've ever prospected for the last year. It's like 12 months. Like we've been in conversations with them. And a part of me is like, come on, like just let's do it.
Yeah.
The other part of me is like, what is it taking out of my day to follow up with them every few weeks and see how it's going? Because they're doing an internal vision structure and like they're waiting for the right time to activate this strategy. I wait for the right time to activate strategies all the time.
Yeah.
And so when it's that, you just be patient. When it's not, like there are some clients where they asked me for proposals 3 times. I gave them proposals. They said, that's too expensive, but I kept to it. I didn't like bend down and try to figure out a way to squeeze them in. Mm-hmm. And then they came back and said, actually, we just had a marketing director leave and we need to bring on a full scale marketing agency. And I was the first person they called.
That's so cool.
And there have been several large clients that we've had a no contest pitch and close, where we were not bidding against any other agency in town just because we were in the right proximity and we stayed close enough long enough.
Very cool. So that's really awesome to hear that you just kept following up every 3 weeks with that client. And you said, so it's the biggest client that you're going to be landing. And for a year, every 3 weeks, you followed up with them. That just goes to
show
the
power. We might not land them. I don't know. But I'd rather be patient with people than not.
Yeah. Well, it just, follow up is so important in sales. It's just one of those things. And I think a lot of people give up too soon. So, that's really interesting to hear that you're getting really close and I'm sure it'll work out for you.
I also close out sometimes too. So like, it's not always just be patient. Like there are some clients where like, I can tell they're dragging their feet or they're like ghosting or they're like just being like off the radar. And, I'll usually send a final email that's like closing the loop. I'm closing out this retainer. I'm closing out this proposal that we talked about. Haven't heard from you.
Yeah.
If it's something you want to, feel free to reach out. Sometimes that generates an immediate response. Sometimes it just creates closure and they're like, okay, great. That's no longer a question. Cool. Let's all figure out something else.
Yeah. I think that is really important.
Yeah.
So do you have any tips for maintaining really happy clients who are going to help bring in those referrals for your business?
Yeah. Marketing gets a bad rap a lot of times because there's a lot of focus on impressions, branding, awareness, like all of these like untouchable metrics and open rates, clicks, click-through rates. And all of those are the mechanics in which the actual work happens. Clients do not pay their employees with impressions and they don't pay their rent with clicks. They pay it with revenue. So the only metric worth talking about in marketing is return on investment for clients. Like that's the only thing clients care about. It's the only thing marketing should care about is return on investment for clients. So as much as possible, we try to set up the systems early on. That's why guidable clients are so important to us.
Right.
Because like we try to set up the system early on to say, we know that your website is talking to your email campaign, is talking to your CRM, that we have access to your like reporting process so that we can say, we spent this much on marketing. It went through this path. It generated this much in revenue. That is an X to Y math equation. Usually marketing tries to stop at, this is a great click-through rate. It's 0.7 more than the industry standard. And they expect a standing ovation for their clients.
Yeah.
And the client is sitting there thinking, the phone has not rung anymore. Like I don't see it. Where's the leads? Like, I don't see it. Or the leads are coming in. Where's the revenue? Because we've been doing this for a while and I'm not seeing the revenue. That's the only thing clients care about. It's the only thing marketing should care about. So being able to create those systems to close the loop on ROI is tremendously important. The second one is ask for the referral. Most people don't have because they don't ask.
Yeah, so that's such a great point.
Just ask. Yeah. Just say, hey, we're growing. I'm adding on some new team members. I would love to work with other clients. Do you have anyone else that you can refer us to?
Yeah.
It's not a hard question to ask.
So just simple. Ask. Yeah, I know. It's like one of those things like asking for the sale in sales. Like,
just say, when can we get
started?
The most
obvious thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So funny. So do you have any tips for being more efficient and productive in your day-to-day?
Oh, that's a great question. Always beginning my day with planning the exact highest priority things that have to get accomplished that day and then doing those first. So it's Love knowing that. The priority and working on the highest priority first. We started using a software called SunSama, S-U-N-S-A-M-A. It's okay. Fantastic. It's about maybe $20 a month, but it integrates your project. So if you like use Asana or Trello or other things like that, it integrates that, your calendar, your email. And it basically says like tasks are coming from a wide variety of stuff. Let's think about your week. Like, you know, the Michael Hyatt Full Focus Planner. It's similar to like a digital version of a macro planner. So you can plan your week. You have your week objectives. You can time track in it. So it's been a tremendously helpful thing for our team to use.
Very cool.
So it's a great one.
Awesome. So, and then do you have any other productivity tips for your team, how your team can be more productive?
Mm. I mean, it's a portion of it is the exact same answer, which is know what's most important and then work on it. We do a 15-minute stand-up meeting every morning where we run through like a basic, it's a scrum analysis, but it's a basic analysis of like, did you do what you said you were going to do yesterday? What are you working on today? And is anything in your way? Are the three questions. And so as a team, we run through and I say, hey, yesterday you said you were going to send the email to the client. Did you do it? Yes or no? Yes. Great. You said that you committed to drafting half of the social post for next month. Did you do it? I didn't get to it. Okay. If we keep making promises that we're not fulfilling, that we're not actually meeting, that I didn't do yesterday what I said I was going to do yesterday leads to I didn't do this month what I said I was going to do this month, translates to I didn't do in this campaign what I said I would do this campaign, and everything derails. So
right.
Starting really small, did I actually do what I meant to do yesterday, and what am I committing to today?
Yeah, that's such a great point. So what systems or software have been critical for helping streamline your operations?
Ooh, that is a great question. Because we've gone through a good amount of, I feel like we've got a pretty good tech stack. So we use Asana for project management. A Banner Snack and Canva for quick and easy stuff. Proposify is my proposal software, which I like a lot.
Nice.
Let's see. SunSama is a great one. Toggle for time tracking is a very helpful one.
Yep.
That one's very, very helpful. Yeah, those are the big ones.
Very cool.
Calendly, obviously, yeah.
Calendly, yes, I know. So simple, but such a helpful tool.
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
So where do you see Kairos Digital in 5 years' time?
Oh, growing to multiple boutique sized agencies in different cities. So I'd love for nice. A certain city to kind of cluster and then have a handful of clients in that city. Mm-hmm. And then we raise up and train someone to manage those clients locally. And then, because a lot like growth can happen in one of two ways, right? It's either a duplication of the small thing in multiple areas united mm-hmm. by one common system, or it's a much larger single machine. Some of the headaches of being a 20 or 30 person agency, I'm not excited about processing. Like, I'm just not excited about some of the mass scale growth in that. Some of the ability of like, hey, we are a crew right here and we're just going to do really great, smart work for these folks.
Yeah.
There's a charm in that that I would love to preserve. So
yeah,
we have a few clients in Gainesville, a few clients up in Wisconsin, that we'd love to like consolidate around to kind of duplicate. Like, oh, we worked with a roofer here in this market. Great. Let's find a really good roofer here and duplicate in this market. Oh, we've got a physical therapist over here. Great. Let's find a physical therapist over here.
Yeah. That's so cool. It's such a great way to scale while still keeping things manageable and not making it overwhelming with dealing with mass amounts of staff.
Yeah,
it's really cool. So is there anything else you'd like to add before we begin wrapping up?
Not to mention, so StoryBrand is a tremendously valuable framework. We've seen clients immediately clarify their message in a way that they have not been able to. Like, I've had clients say, you've just done in an hour what I've tried the last 19 years to do, which is say what I do.
Yeah, that's
so cool. Anytime someone says, what do you do? Like, the reality is that, like, anyone can launch a Facebook campaign. Mm-hmm. Anyone, like, it's not, you can go to, you can do the Facebook blueprint course. You can learn how to start a Facebook campaign. You can do a TikTok ad. You can do an MailChimp email blast. You can even, like, get really good at strategy and how to tie it all together. None of that is an inaccessible knowledge. What is hard is, so, like, getting the world's attention, super easy. You just got to make enough noise and people mm-hmm. look, right? That's not the hard part. The hard part is when everyone's looking, do you have anything worth saying? Mm. And when they're looking, do you keep their attention by what you're saying?
Right.
Because that's the lifespan of a lot of marketing is, oh yeah, yeah, we're going to create a huge splash. And it goes like this, attention. And then they realize they didn't spend enough time working on the message and the words. And all of a sudden they've not earned the right to keep talking to people. They've bought the right to talk to people, but they've not earned the right to keep talking to people through their message. So making sure that the message is very clear and very compelling. Like, everyone's like, oh, I just really want to have my ideal client. I just want to, like, be able to, like, get my ideal client. Like, great. Pretend there are 100 ideal clients sitting in a room right now. You have 10 seconds to pitch it. Do you know what you're going to say? Do you have anything worth saying in 10 seconds to your ideal client that is going to make their lives better?
Yeah.
Usually not. Usually it's, well, tell me about your company. What do you do for a living? Well, my father started the company, you know, 19 years ago. And then all of a sudden this, like, glaze over. It's like, you're not talking. You're not solving a problem. Every story is about solving a problem.
Yeah.
So when someone is like, I just really want to tell my story. I'm like, you don't need to tell your story to anyone. You need to invite your ideal people into a story where they are the hero and they are getting their problem solved. That's a story your hero wants to have solved.
So cool. It's really interesting. Yeah. I love that. Very cool. Yeah. And I would also, I want to learn more about the four pillars that you like to focus on. So you mentioned.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So share more about that with us.
Yeah. So the employee one is very self-evident. Like, a lot of businesses have that as their, as one of their customers is their actual employees. So that one's fairly clear that we want to focus on a way that empowers people, removes obstacles, where the leader is actually working for the employees. And my job is to remove as many barriers and give as much, like, freedom for smart people to be tremendously smart. So that's the employee part. Customers is also very self-evident. Every business model functions on a structure of helping their customers. The third one is helping the world. Like, teams all going to lunch. Yeah, exactly. They're like, if we're going to leave, we got to leave all together. Otherwise it's distracting. helping the world. I have a 3 to 5 year vision of taking the agency and either shutting it down for 6 months mm-hmm. or going full remote for 6 months. And then the entire agency going overseas, embedding with, like, a nonprofit, an NGO, a missions organization, and being like, listen, we're embedding with you for 3 months or 6 months. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring videographers. We're going to bring copywriters. We're going to bring graphic designers and photographers. We're going to build your website. We're going to get your messaging right. We're going to get your donor emails all structured out. We're going to build out your CRM so that people can actually, like, engage with and be part of the storytelling and then just, like, train you and then just get out, you know? So either managing our clients remotely or half the agency shuts down and goes, but, like, that's, like, I want great, good organizations to have all the tools that they need to be able to do it. And so the ability to, like, shut down, import, embed, build, and then get out.
And then get out.
Is a vision that I've got that I really want to see happen.
That's so cool. That's so exciting.
Yeah. The fourth one is college students. I have hired a lot of interns in my last agency and in this one. There's a common thread. Every college student bemoans the, you have to have experience to get experience. How do you get experience if you don't have experience, right? Like, is this catch 22 that students are in. And the biggest symptom of it is that the people teaching at college, though very smart and good-hearted and well-intentioned and probably terrific, they are not writing email campaigns or building sales funnels or doing things. So they're talking about branding. They're talking about campaigns as a theory. They're talking about what Coca-Cola does or Nike does or Apple does or Tesla does. And the reality is that all of that knowledge doesn't scale when you've got a fencer in Jacksonville trying to get the phone to ring. Like, it's a different thing. It's a fully different structure. Like, they're not taught, how do you write an email subject line that's going to get opened? They're not taught, how do you create a Facebook ad, actually create a Facebook ad as part of a course curriculum? They're not taught. They're taught about how Facebook ads have had an impact on the overarching flow of like ads, but they're not taught, okay, but how do I build a Facebook ad? How do I start a campaign? What's a pixel? What does retargeting matter in a Facebook campaign? How can I use a lookalike audience? Like, all of the structural stuff that a business owner actually needs someone to know, they're not taught in school.
Wow.
So my theory is, and as I have yet to be proven wrong, is that one, you do not need a college education to become an excellent marketer. You actually just need, to be a decent communicator and writer. You need to be a good problem solver, and you need to have high levels of empathy, because empathy is, I can imagine the world through that person's eyes. I can problem solve the process, and I can create words that speak to that person that I can empathize with. Right.
Right.
In my opinion, those are the three infinity stones of a good marketer. Mm-hmm. Everything else is stuff added onto or is distracting from those three things. So another vision, another product project that I'm working on is a course that basically bridges that gap of applied marketing.
Okay. And this would be a course for the colleges to use?
Colleges, college students, businesses, using entry level as an entry level onboarding. So they can say, hey, listen, we'll hire you, but you got to go through this course because it's going to get you up to speed on all the stuff that we need you to know, but we know college didn't teach you. So it's either marketers and entry level work trying to get into and say, look, I've done the applied marketing course. I've built email campaigns. I know how to do Facebook ads. I know how to create stuff. I know how to create a Google Ads campaign. I know all the things you're talking about. I've done because I've gone through this course. And so, it being basically a bridge course that teaches the practicals of marketing is
so cool.
Is the last piece. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. I think those are some really cool pillars to incorporate into your agency.
Thanks.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions.
Let's do it.
What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The War of Art.
Love
The War of Art is a fantastic book. It talks about overcoming resistance. And every business owner, every creator, every marketer, everyone needs to read The War of Art.
Perfect. And what does your morning routine look like?
Yeah, so I have two small kids, so it may wake up well before them, have my coffee, do Wordle, obviously, have some type of quiet time where I'm either reading, journaling, praying, just getting ready for the day. So coffee, and then usually I'm the breakfast dad, so I make breakfast for the family, and then I always leave the house at the same time, and I'm home at the same time. So I have a commitment to leave work at the same time and to leave for work at the same time.
Nice.
So the work has to live within the structure that I've given it. Otherwise it'll take over everything.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. That sounds like a great morning routine. Lots of structure there. Yeah. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Donald Miller is going to be the one is the guy who developed the StoryBrand framework. Yeah.
Very cool. And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh, I just recently found one. It's called Fathom. Fathom.video. Right now it's free, and it is it integrates natively with Zoom, and it auto records with unlimited storage. So you don't have to pay for Zoom. You don't have to pay for the Zoom premium recording stuff on their cloud.
Oh, cool.
And it records the whole video and transcribes it in real time. So then you get a written transcription of it. And there's also these like little buttons on the side where you can flag specific, and you can customize that menu. So you're like positive feedback, negative feedback, action item. And then at the end of the transcription, you get visual snippets of those sections ready to export. And then it links directly with the recording in the video. So you can like the scrubbing between is very native. You can export straight to Asana. So all of the action items can be put straight into Asana, into a Google Doc of like an agenda afterwards. It's like the most impressive thing I've ever, like I would pay $150 a month for this, thing.
And it's
and
free?
They're in beta right now. So they're like onboarding folks.
Oh, okay.
And so if you want, I'll get, if you want to put it in the pod, in the show notes, I'll send you my link and anyone can sign up for it because yeah. I'm part of the early.
Sounds great. Yeah, I will definitely do that. That sounds awesome. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That it's okay, to say no, to clients. Like that it is a seasonal thing, that it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
You do not have to help everyone that needs help. You have to protect your team as well as you have to protect clients. You have to protect, everyone's got to make it home safely. And so if you're not the right person to be driving, don't drive.
Yeah. Putting those boundaries in place.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Stephen. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.